Bill Ryan, your new book, Serving Celebrities, sounds fascinating and juicy and filled with lots of gossip. My most important question is, A, do I know any of these celebrities? And B, are any of your stories going to get me in trouble?
I doubt they'll get you in trouble, except for maybe Nia Vardalos.
No!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 343, Celebrities Getting Served. Well, it's the 1st of July as I record this, so happy Canada Day, Canucks, which means that here in the U.S., the annual 4th of July American Independence holiday weekend is almost upon us, the traditional beginning of the summer holidays, and the perfect time for a little light summer reading. Well, Bill Ryan has written what for me seems like the perfect summer book, Serving Celebrities, Stories of Your Favorite Celebrities from One Who Served Them. Their stories culled from Bill's many years as a waiter, bartender, hotel butler, taxi driver, stage manager, and theater manager. And if the name Bill Ryan sounds familiar, it's because he's related to my wife, Dee Ryan. He's like a brother to her, in fact. And when I was in L.A. back in April, I got to have lunch with Bill at my favorite taco stand on a surprisingly windy day, and he told me about how his book came to be.
It started as my blog. I started it about 2 years ago, and it started with just 5 stories, and then I would continually write stories and put them on. I got up to about 50, and I got to 50, and that's when I met these publishers called Wheelman Press, and they said that they were interested in publishing it, and so I added nine more stories, and so there's a total of 59 stories in the book.
And they were interested because of the subject matter, because you had so many hits on your blog? I mean, what were the metrics involved?
I think it was because of the subject matter.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of hits on the blog. I didn't really... push the blog well enough.
No, it's true. It's true. You are sadly deficient in the social media skills of Facebooking and Twitter.
Yeah, that's one of the social skills that I'm...
just one of many.
But really, okay, so this started with a blog, but really it started because, like many actors and writers, you've waited a ton of tables and served at a lot of bars over the last number of years.
Yes, this story is from waiting tables, stories from attending bar, also driving I drove a cab in New York for a year, and there's stories from when I was a butler at the Sunset Marquee, and there's a lot of good stories out of that. There's stories from when I was a theater manager up at the Sundance Film Festival,
nice.
And also stories from being a stage manager at the Writers Guild Awards. I did that for 13 years.
Wow.
I have a lot of fun stories. I have one really funny story called The Bad Show about a award show that just it didn't start out well and just kept on going downhill from there to the point that I basically had Hal Holbrook threaten me.
Hal Holbrook?
Yes.
The avuncular Hal Holbrook?
Exactly.
But he was in his deep throat mode.
It was a real deep throat moment.
Oh, God.
If I go out there and I look like an asshole,
right.
I'm going to hold you responsible.
Now, are these stories where you're the witness or the protagonist or the antagonist?
I'm usually the... I wouldn't say... I switch in and out.
Okay.
I switch in and out. Sometimes I'm the witness. Other times, you know, it is from my perspective. it is usually what's going on around the story. But I hate to really think that I caused all of it.
Really, nobody died on my watch.
I was just standing there, and then, and then everything started to go crazy around me.
And at a certain point, I imagine there's moments where it's in the midst of everything that's happening, the story takes a detour into your head as you begin to envision how this story could go.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is sort of having the memories and then saying, so what's the story in this memory?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, and I was surprised at times that it'd be like, actually that is the story, you know, and it does take a sort of a higher theme, you know. You know, it's I don't know, would you say Hunter S. Thompson was the protagonist or antagonist. He's
the omniscient, God, you know, unreliable, godlike narrator.
That's me.
I'm sitting here with Hunter S. Thompson, Man K, Bill Ryan,
yes.
talking about his blog and his book. It's the great expression, and I forget who says it, Mark Twain or whoever. You know, stories only happen to people who can tell them. You know, yes. And it seems like you have culled all of these sort of nuggets from, you know, a long time of experience.
Well, yes, I use the stories. I tell the stories all the time, and it's a big, long, trunk full of stories I've had, uh-huh. and some of them are these, yeah. you know, and it's just, and I find, it's one of the reasons why I started the blog was because I would tell people these stories and say, oh, well, that's a great story.
Right.
You know, and I just couldn't tell enough people.
Yes, I see.
But this is a way to get the word out. Well, hopefully the podcast will help get the word out as well. Well, and you just compared yourself to Hunter S. Thompson, but I also have compared you in my own head to Woody Allen in the sense that, in only one sense, sadly, or no, maybe two. I don't think you haven't gotten married to your former stepdaughter.
Not yet.
but you write a screenplay almost every year. And none of them have been produced. Some of them have gotten close. I mean, like many of us who've written mm-hmm. screenplays that have never gone. But that diligence, that ability to just do it, even when there's no promise of anything at the other end of it, it's quite admirable.
But I enjoy it. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's sort of the fun. It gives you something to, I hate to say go on. I mean, I got a lot of other things that make me want to go on.
Yeah.
But it's something that's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that thing going, whether it's the blog, which was for a while, or just, you know, a screenplay, or, you know, I've been writing some plays, you know, and so it's nice to have something going there while you go about trying to make a living and raise a family.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's true. That's Stephen King always says it, you know, writers write. You know how you know you're a writer? You write.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you getting published is a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. But writers write.
Yeah. And I would agree yeah. with that. You know.
You write because you have to.
Yeah. You know, when I studied acting, we were underneath the Joffrey Ballet.
Okay.
And
congratulations! All of them?
All of them. We were in the back of City Center, a floor below them. And the thing was, you know, you watch the ballet people come in and day out. Watch the ballerinas and the male dancers and you know, they would go up there and they would do their work every single day. And our teachers used to compare the actors to that all the time and say, really, you know, you call yourself an artist, you'll probably make a lot more money if you work in this than they will ever make.
Right.
But look what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always kind of had that. It's true. You know, it's true. You have to do the work.
You have to do the work. It's a very blue collar, not artsy fartsy attitude mm-hmm. towards art. It's about the work.
Right. And going back to the stories, that's how the work came.
Yeah.
I had to have a job.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You have training as an actor, and do you have training as a writer? Do you ever take a writing course, or is it just years of experience
I've taken some writing courses here and there.
Yeah.
I took a class out of AFI, couple classes actually out of AFI, one for writing television, one for writing film.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken a couple sort of like writers business classes.
Cool.
And then because of associations I had with the Writers Guild and other different organizations, I've gone to a lot of seminars about writing, and I've heard a lot of people extol about being a writer.
some of which is useful, most of which is crap.
Pretty much, you know, I hear one more writer who's making like, you know, millions of dollars a year say, "I hate writing." You know, I really want to get to the point in my career that I can stand up and hit them and say, hey, why don't you let someone who really enjoys writing do that job and make that money?
Right, and quit your bitching.
Hey there, this is Neil LaBute, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Oh, golly, we've got a big summer and fall of 2013 coming up. For the rest of this year, we'll be performing 6 shows in 5 countries on 4 continents. In 2 weeks, starting on the 16th, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, in London for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theatre. Then in August 2013, we bring the Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged, to Australia for 6 weeks, performing in Melbourne, Adelaide, Canberra, Brisbane, and Sydney. Then this fall, we'll be back on tour in the UK, the US, and Hong Kong, and Singapore with Shakespeare, Books, and Christmas, and we'll premiere our 9th stage show, The Complete History of Comedy, abridged, at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
But with your training as and experience as a writer, does that give you an insight, a window into some of the celebrities that you've been serving over the years? Has that helped or hurt relationships with these guys?
I don't know. One of the things I've always found important was I studied with Stella Adler, and I worked for her for 3 years to put myself through acting school. Mm-hmm. And working for Stella, because she was such a prima donna, was really good later on, because when I had to wait on people and everything like that, I knew how to deal with them, as opposed to other people I worked with who just got really angry at them.
Right.
You know, and
how do you deal with prima donnas?
You pretend, you make sure that they feel that they're the most important person in that restaurant.
Okay.
Or in that hotel, you know, and even if he had come right on and said, "You're the most important person here,"
right?
You know?
And is that not in any way soul deadening? Or that's just that's the job.
It's the job, and the other side of it too, though. If you respect the person, and it's a little easier to take, you know.
Well, that's true. You've waited on. I mean, I know you've waited and served on some people you really love, like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, and like Richard Harris actually falls into that category big time.
Okay.
Where I really respected the guy, and he was a prima donna. But you know, because I respected him and I knew how to deal with him, it was really. It was a lot easier. I didn't take his attitude or his the fact that he felt like he deserved to be the king,
right?
Personally, and I had people, and I had people I worked with who wouldn't deal with him, and so I would end up taking their shifts just because they couldn't put up with Richard Harris. But I knew how to deal with them because I dealt with Stella.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And how was your interaction with the boss, with Mr. Springsteen?
Bruce is really great. I have a story in there of Bruce. It's probably the longest story. Uh-huh. It's the last story of the book, and I'm very proud of it. But Bruce. Is a guy who never really worked in the industry, never really worked. I mean, he's played music all his life.
Right.
And so, he was personable. He didn't have, you wouldn't have long conversations with him.
Right.
He would tell you what he wanted, and how he wanted it, which is fine when you're a waiter. That's exactly how you.
You didn't want him to say, "Hey, Bill, come in and sit down."
Well, no, of course I did want him to say that. He never did. But on the other hand, at least he talked to me and told me what he wanted rather than the old, "Can you read my mind and get me what I want?"
Yeah.
But he was always upfront. The thing is, the book on Bruce, when I worked at the Sunset Marquee, was, Bruce can do his ordering, whatever he wants to do, but if Patty's there, she got the check. Because Patty worked in the industry, and Patty tipped very well.
Very good. She knows what it's like.
Bruce did 20%. Patty did 25-30%.
Nice.
She'd been on the floor for a while, so she knew how to handle it.
Now you've got about 4 minutes left. Do you have time to tell the Faye Dunaway story? What's the a short version of it? Like what's the worst experience? Or what's the experience where you feel like you came out the best?
I don't think I came out the best than any of them.
Oh, dear. Well, when there were moments, like you got to tell somebody off cathartically.
Well, you never really get to tell anybody off. That's the sad thing about it. When I was working the Sundance Film Festival, I was the assistant theater manager for one of the theaters. And, Sundance has all kinds of rules. And, one of the rules was when you were filling up the theaters, you couldn't hold seats. If the person wasn't in the theater, that seat was available. And so we're filling up the theater, and I have this guy come up to me, and he says, "I'm holding a seat for my boss." And I said, "I'm sorry, you know, you can't do that." "Well, it's Faye Dunaway." And I said, and I had liked Bonnie and Clyde, and I was a big Bukowski fan, and I really liked Barfly. Yeah. And so I said, "All right, if she's here by the time the film starts, you can keep the seat, but if when we turn the lights off, I'll put somebody in there."
Yeah.
He said, "Okay." And so about 2 seconds before the lights went off, Faye Dunaway blew through the
swans in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I grabbed her and brought her in, and I brought her to her seat, and they thanked me, and the lights went down, and they did the introduction to the film, and I went back out and started to load some other theaters. And then about 5, 10, 15 minutes in, I would make rounds through the theaters. Just one of the big rules was people couldn't stand in the aisles or sit in the aisles because of the fire code. And then the fire department would come down 2-3 times a day just to catch us. And so I go into this theater, and sure enough, there's someone standing up in the aisle. And I go down there, and I realize it's Faye Dunaway. And the person I broke the rules for.
Right.
And I went up to her, and I whispered, "You've got to get back in your seat." And she leaned over and said, "I don't like my seat." "Well, let me remind you, this is the seat I held for her against the rules."
Right, right.
And I said, "I don't care. You have to sit down." So she begrudgingly sat down. I go back out, and I'd been through this with so many other people who weren't Faye Dunaway. I knew 10 minutes later, I went back in, and again, she's standing up.
Right.
And so again, I said, "You've got to go and sit down in your seat." And she's just like, "I don't like it." And I'm like, "I don't care." She's like, "I got to see this movie." "Good, then go sit in the seat." And so she goes and sits in the seat. 10, 15 minutes later, I go back. She's sitting in the aisle now. And I bring her, you know, I just come, you know, "We got to go outside." And she's like, "Well, I don't like my seat." And I'm like, "I need to talk to you out there, because now this has become much more interesting than the film that we're actually showing." and a good portion of the theater is watching us.
Right, right.
So I take her outside, and I get her outside, and I said, "Look, you've got to sit in your chair, or you got to leave."
Yeah.
The only two choices. And she said, well, "Do you know who I am?" Classic move, classic move. Yes. Well, we used to subtitle the film Sundance Film Festival as "Do You Know Who I Am Film Festival?" Because everybody used to say it to us. And I said, "Yes, I know who you are." And then I said to her, "Do you know who I am?" And she goes, and I blocked the door, and I said, "I'm the guy who's not going to let you back in."
Snap!
And she's like, "I got to see that film." And I said, "Look, you go in there, you sit down in the chair. If you don't sit down in the chair, I'm going to call the police. They'll come and arrest you, and then I will call IndieWire so that they can report on it when the cops get here."
Wow.
I'm like, "There's no choice. You either go in there and sit down, or you just leave."
Right.
There is no other choice.
Right, right.
And so she went back in, and she was a good soldier through that.
So it has a happy ending.
Yeah, it had a happy ending.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Pick up your copy of Bill Ryan's Serving Celebrities in bookstores or online at Amazon in either physical or digital editions. Then send us your brushes with celebrity greatness via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you could post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, semi-celebrity Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Greg Chu. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Neil LaBute, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 343/1029th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and as we approach this lovely 4th of July weekend, I leave you with this festive holiday greeting from our UK producer and production manager, Davey Naylor.
Happy 4th of July, you traitorous bastards!
Now This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.